Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, it's Sprague here. Really appreciate you listening. You're about to get some podcast excellence. It's presented by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Is Dirt and Sprague.
From the gun, joined by White. Logan had to go set to his right. He looked to White, and now he rolls to buy time for Hogan. Touchdown, Patriots!
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
This is to the end zone. Caught for the touchdown, Graham! And that is where he is so devastating. 8-yard touchdown pass, Rodgers to Jimmy Graham. And that will not be the last time we'll say that this season.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, it is 12:02 in the Rose City. It is time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. Brandon Sprague, Andy Dirt Johnson with you out at Pumpkin Ridge for the 2018 Winco Foods Portland Open. Yet again, it's our annual tradition. We come out here and do our radio show right in front of the practice putting green. We take in the incredible abilities of the golfers and, of course, their girlfriends and wives.
That is right. The scenery is pretty solid out here, and it's almost like we got to do kind of a quiet show because we got some guys warming up, and there's a lot on the line for this tournament. So guys are playing for tour cards. The last thing I want to do is be an idiot that's talking too loud and throwing them off going into this weekend.
We have a former coworker of ours named Taylor Mounts that now works out here for this event.
Yeah, he's walking around like a bigwig.
He is. He's got a walkie-talkie on his hip. He's like, I can get it. You need it, I can get it.
I think the power rankings of, like, work equipment that you could get that would make you feel pretty powerful, walkie-talkie has to be near the top of the list.
You know, I always thought that, too.
Like, just having a walkie-talkie, he probably never uses it.
Sure.
I don't think he actually walkie-talkies anybody, but when just having a walkie-talkie just has got it's kind of an ego boost for you.
Well, I would even take the walkie-talkie because I remember going to an NBA game when I was a lot younger, and a security guard had a walkie-talkie, and somebody was trying to get through, and the guy had to walkie to okay it, and I thought, that guy's got a little bit of power.
Yeah, he's got the juice, man. You can't get through without the approval from the walkie-talkie guy.
Yeah, so we're out here, and he's walking us around, because we've been out here, is this the fourth year for us?
I think it's the fourth year, yeah.
So the fourth year that we've been out here, like, I wholeheartedly have to admit to you, I've never actually walked around the course during the tournament. I've never taken in the 18 green, which is right to our right here where we're set up. And so we took it in and we walked around a little bit. And it was one of those funny moments that you didn't laugh out loud. But we're watching this guy. He's lining up, what would you say, maybe a 4-foot putt? Maybe less?
Yeah, 4 foot. And we got up there kind of late, so I didn't know if it was a birdie putt or a par putt.
I'm thinking it was a bird the way he reacted.
True.
Because he's trying to move up the leaderboard.
It could have been, though. It could have been to save par, too.
Yeah, you're right.
Maybe he missed the green and chipped up because it's a par three.
Yeah, you're right. Maybe that's it. So this guy's looking at this putt, and he probably takes 3 or 4 minutes to even get the courage to step up to the ball.
Yeah, we're all awkwardly standing there quiet. You can't move or make a sound.
Yeah, and he finally hits it, and you don't hear it drop. And then you see him like do like a flinch, and then he taps it in. He takes the ball, and he throws the golf ball into the woods. Like it was the golf ball's fault. It's not his. And I just wanted to laugh, but I thought, yeah, that's golf.
You know, when I've been there before, I've wanted to huck a golf ball. If I had more money, I'd chuck them more often. These guys probably get them for free, so it's no big deal if you want to hoof one into the out of bounds. But I don't have the money to quite get away with throwing a Pro V1 into the boundary.
Yeah, I tend to just be a guy that probably puts a divot into the ground more so than I am throw the golf
ball.
You're
one of those guys, huh?
Yeah, I've been that guy before.
Pound in the fringe.
Look.
It's not the green's fault you missed that putt. It's your fault.
It's amazing that you can play this sport for however long you play it and still allow it to upset you, especially when you're not a pro or a semi-pro.
Oh, it'll ruin your day if you have a bad round or don't take advantage of a birdie or par opportunity.
I know,
like,
but
that.
Why do we get so much more upset in golf than I feel like any other sport we recreationally play? Like, I've played pickup games of basketball where in the course of a game I've probably shot 2 for 12, which is, I mean, just god awful. And I'm frustrated, but I'm not throwing the ball. I'm not yelling anything. I'm getting back on defense, and I'm trying to impact the game in another way. In golf, I can have a birdie putt, miss it, miss the par putt, and it sticks with me for, like, the next three holes.
I don't know. That's a good question. Part of it probably is because you're playing by yourself. You know, the team aspect of basketball, if you miss a shot, it doesn't mean your team's losing. You could still win that game going 2 of 12.
Right.
You still got to get back and play some defense. When you're golfing, it's you. So if you screw up, that's your score that's affected. Doesn't mean that if you're playing one-on-one and you go 2 for 12 and you lose, you know, a game to 21, like 21-8 or something.
Right.
You're probably going to be pretty pissed off at yourself.
That's a good point.
See, and I still do have that in sports. Like, we played our softball game last night.
Oh, man.
I booted a couple of ground balls. Yeah. I was pissed after the game. I still get that frustration even in team sports.
See, but this is where it's just a little different.
See, you flew out last, or yeah, you lined out at a guy. You threw your hat on the ground.
I did. Well, this is what happened. Beer league softball, I never really take seriously. But when you play a certain team, they react in a way that can suddenly engage your competitive factor, right? So we're played in Wieden Kennedy last night, the famous advertising company. And we've played against them a few years. We know they are the serious softball team. Like, they're all fun and games, but they start playing. If they're losing, you can hear them getting mad.
Yeah.
And we started playing really well. We're winning. Yada, yada, yada. They start getting really competitive. They're taking it serious. They start scoring runs. They're tying it. They took a lead. We're tying it.
We almost got in a brouhaha in, like, the fifth inning.
Yeah, there was our first baseman almost got in a fight. Like,
yelling at each other.
It got elevated to a level it shouldn't have. And so I'll admit, I flew out last night, and it was the bottom inning. We were down one run. We had one out. I popped up. I put us at two outs. We were an out away from losing the game. Yeah, I threw my hat on the ground. I was frustrated.
You chucked it on the ground.
I did. And then the guy behind me, luckily, hit a home run over the wall.
Yeah, I think golf is just one of those sports that you can play other things and not have the competitive juices go. Like, you can play a casual game of pickup basketball. You can play a casual game of beer league softball and not get too roped into it. I don't really play a casual round of golf. Like, at some point, my round of golf can turn into casual if I'm that bad and it's like back nine. I got nothing to play for at that point. I've been awful. Back nine, you let it go. You have a couple of beers. You're just like, whatever. You loosen up and you don't really care if you hit a bad shot. You start laughing about it at that point. But if you got a good round going, or you got a score you're trying to hit, or you got a goal you're trying to get to, and you're not playing well, it's never just a casual round of golf for me.
Yeah, see, the tough thing with that is I'm always trying to shoot low, but I don't know if I've ever been in an ultra serious round either. I see what you're saying about the super casual. I don't know if I've ever been in a super serious round.
Yeah, if you think you get mad at your normal rounds of golf.
Did you get, when you and your buddies usually do, like, a tournament every year.
It gets intense, man.
So you guys aren't really talking to each other?
No, you don't talk to each other. And if you start to fall apart or something on the back nine, it gets intense, dude.
Yeah.
When you got some money on the line, or you got some pride on the line you're playing for, it just adds to the stakes.
I guess that's a good point.
You miss one of those putts when you're down by one on, like, the 16th hole? Try that reaction.
That's what these guys are practicing right now.
That's right.
All right, let's find out what's on tap for today's radio show.
Dirt and Sprague know what's brewing.
I'm not paid to be bold. I'm paid to be right.
There's a lot of sporting events that you say, oh, I got to go do that.
This is What's on Tap, poured by Pelican Brewing Company, born at the beach on 1080. The Fan.
What's on Tap brought to you in The Fan by Pelican Brewing Company, born at the beach, online at pelicanbrewing.com. We just went and said hello to the Pelican tent right before the show. Our guys AJ and Ryan out here hanging out, having a good time.
Dude, there is a sweet Grove area. For those of you who haven't been out here, we went and checked it out.
Yeah, if you're looking for a reason to come out aside from the golf, there's a really nice area. You grab a drink and watch some golf.
Yeah, it's the Grove, and there's like 10, 12 breweries out there. There's wineries there. You can walk around. They give you free tastings. Pelican's out there, so you can go try some beers. It's a great spot. Like, and you got a good view of a par three.
Yep.
A good view of a par five behind you. It's a sweet spot to come hang out if you're at the tournament this weekend.
We had somebody in the Grove actually say, "Hey, I heard Jason Swigard was here," and I was like, "But like somebody told you that he was coming out?" Like, no, I literally heard him here in the Grove. Hey guys,
heard him from four breweries over. Hey, I know that voice.
That's a Swigard right
first
there.
First on the fan.
Yeah, we got a good show today. It's got Friday. We're gonna have some fun hanging out. We've got Jeff Sanders, which he's kind of the guy here. Jeff Sanders is, and he has been for a while now. It's our tradition when we're out here to have him on the show. It's a, you know, it's a thank you to, from us to them, because we love being out here, love being partners with him. And then also, he's just a really knowledgeable golf fan, so I want to get his thoughts on the Tiger Woods PGA Championship tournament, talk about the Winco Foods Portland Open as well. He's going to join us at 12:30. We'll talk some NFL. I watched a lot of Sam Darnold last night. I was almost late to our softball game because I wanted to watch every time Darnold took the field.
Did anybody else, by the way, think the Monday Night Crew sounded weird? That's going to take a while to get used to.
Well, I kind of wanted to bring that up, too, because I took some observations from that as well, because that was my first time listening to Witten, Booger, and Tessitore. So we may touch on that. Russell Wilson seems to think something is completely turned around that, you know, their recent history would suggest has been maybe their worst area. So we'll talk about that a little bit. J.J. Redick has a podcast, and he told an interesting story about a body in the back of a taxi cab with him in New York when him and his wife were there recently.
That sounds normal.
So, you know, you got that going for you.
Who hasn't had one of those experiences in New York, huh?
I feel like you haven't lived unless you've had that experience.
Dead body in the trunk, no big deal.
We will Sprague the Line at 2:30 as well, so make sure to get your Sprague the Line sponsors of the Better You Today text line at 55305. We'll talk some college football. Stuart Mandel, who we're trying to work out schedule-wise to be on next week, he put out his Pac-12 predictions on The Athletic, so we'll talk a little bit about that. We've got some of those odds for the games are out. The Huskies are 2.5-point dogs against Auburn. We got some football, a little golf, a little baseball, Portland to the Portland Diamond Project. As we got the hat right there from a young man. There we go, my man, rocking the Portland Diamond Project hat. They were brought up on the MLB Network last night by one of the, I don't know, members of the group, Harold Reynolds. He brought them up. So we'll talk about that as well. We got a good show. We're on Twitter at Dirt and Sprague, at Theodore Johnson, and at Brandon Sprague. Let's start with some football. Did you watch Sam Darnold last night? Give you our thoughts on what we saw from the rookie quarterback, Alex Smith in Washington, and the Monday Night Football crew. We'll start there. You got Dirt and Sprague. We're live out at Pumpkin Ridge on Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan. All right, welcome back in. Dirt and Sprague with you, 1218 on The Fan. Hope you're enjoying your Friday afternoon. We're out at the Winco Foods Portland Open here at Pumpkin Ridge. Beautiful day. A lot of other years, it's been like 120 degrees, it's felt like. This year, it really is that picture-perfect 85 feel, you know?
Yeah, you can't beat this. It's going to be great all weekend, too. And it's fun. You know, this is the kind of sporting event I'll connect it to, and I'm just a hockey guy, so that's why I reference it. But it reminds me of being at Winterhawk games and getting a chance to see guys that have already been drafted in the first round. And, you know, like in 2 years, that dude's going to be a star on an NHL team.
Yep.
You know, but Matt Barzal was the rookie of the year in the NHL this year, and he played for Seattle, and you got a chance to see him in Portland all the time. I was out here 2 years ago, or maybe it was 3 years ago, and we got done with the show, and I was like, dude, this is awesome. I want to walk around. And I ended up following Tony Finau for about 11 or 12 holes, and his family was, you know, there weren't many people following him around. And just to kind of get that glimpse of what, you know, what his thoughts are, and you can hear him talking to his caddy and the back and forth they're having. And then next thing you know, a year and a half later, you're turning on the Masters, and
he's
who's in the top 10 at Augusta on a Sunday. So that's kind of the fun part. You might not know a lot of the names now, but if you come out and you watch them, you realize the top 25 guys are going to get their tour card, and then you're going to turn on a tournament in 2 years, and boom, there's that guy. He's going to be playing on a Saturday and a Sunday.
Yeah, so we'll talk with Jeff Sanders, who helps run this whole tournament. He'll join us at 12:30. But I want to start with some NFL football. Did you watch Sam Darnold last night?
I did. I caught a little bit of it. I didn't watch a lot of it live, but I like DVR and that stuff when I get home.
Yeah.
I'm curious. These rookie quarterbacks are fascinating to me, and I want to watch all of them.
Yeah, it was you know, I know it's preseason, right? So ultimately it doesn't matter all that much. But it was kind of like appointment television for me. I had to make sure I was home right at 5 o'clock. I brought it up right away on TV as I made dinner. And I just wanted to see what he looked like because I had seen his previous game, but kind of like you, I'd watched it after
right.
it happened.
And everybody was raving about him after game one.
And I thought, you know, he obviously threw his first interception.
Sure.
His offensive line was a little shaky. He had a couple plays he probably wishes he could have back. But, you know, you watch what he was doing, and I don't know how today, and I think we can relate to this with Damian Lillard when we first got him. You're ecstatic as a Jet fan knowing he's your quarterback.
Absolutely you are.
You are going all in. You have no idea if he's really going to be what you hope.
Yeah.
But what you've seen thus far, the arm strength, the mobility, the ability to move the feet in the pocket and evade the pass rush, and just recognition on the field and being as smart as he is, I think it leaves you incredibly hopeful for the future. And so even though he wasn't perfect last night, I quite enjoyed just watching him be out there to see what he is going to be like in the NFL. And, you know, I can't wait for the season to start to see what we do in the regular season.
I mean, this changes the whole direction of your franchise. You know, we make fun of the Jets because in the last, 20 years outside of a two-year run with Rex Ryan and Mark Sanchez, when they had an outstanding defense, they've been irrelevant.
Yeah.
And now they're feeling like, hey, you draft your guy, and that'll change your direction for the next 10 to 15 years, and you can be a relevant team, especially in that division where you know there is a limit on New England. Like, at some point, Belichick and Brady are out of there, and the whole division's going to open up for you. So it's perfect timing on their part. I think last night watching him, the one thing he continues to do, he's really conservative, which is good for a rookie quarterback. You don't want a guy going out there and throwing 3-4 picks, but he's not really pushing the ball downfield, and he didn't do a whole lot of that in his first preseason game either. And part of that, I think, is him still trying to get his feet underneath him.
Right.
And part of it is, what you mentioned, his offensive line is terrible. And this is one of the concerns, because we talked last week or maybe earlier this week about, should you start him right away? Do you play him? That's one of the bigger concerns that I have. I think he's ready to play to a certain extent, but that offensive line is a sieve.
Right.
And that's a no-win situation for him, because unless you're Russell Wilson and you could run around and extend plays and, you know, create things out of nothing, Sam Darnold doesn't have that athleticism, and he's going to be standing back there just waiting to get drilled in the pocket. And that's the biggest concern I have about the Jets through two preseason games. He's looked good. He's going to make mistakes, but their offensive line is atrocious.
Well, and that's the thing, too, because you mentioned the division. You think about the Jets' history real quick, and I did this last night. They've had three quarterbacks in, like, 30 years. Seriously, though, think about this. Vinny Testaverde for, 2 years, really? Chad Pennington.
Oh, Chad Pennington. He's my boy.
He had some good seasons. They went to the playoffs.
He's the prototypical dirt quarterback right there.
He really is. And then Mark Sanchez. But, like, those three guys, you're talking like a 2-3-year run here.
Yeah.
They have not identified that franchise guy, and you just wonder, is this it now for them?
Yeah, you went Geno Smith, Christian Hackenberg.
No, they
whiffed on a whole bunch
they
of guys.
They have whiffed. They've tried, but they've whiffed, and maybe they've nailed it now. The other part of last night's game was Teddy Bridgewater played well. Now a lot of people are wondering, should you try to trade him? To that, I would just simply say no. I don't understand this rush to want to trade somebody because they play well. He might end up figuring it out again and becoming a franchise quarterback for somebody down the road. Why would you want to get rid of him? And what are you truly going to get right now? Like, what team in the NFL needs Teddy Bridgewater to the point they're going to give you great assets?
Yeah, you don't do it yet. But that was an encouraging sign, because I do think ultimately that is what the Jets should do in this case.
I mean, at some point they probably should look into it,
because,
but not right now.
No, he's not their quarterback of the future. He's not their franchise guy. Sam Darnold is, and that's why they use the third overall pick on him.
Right.
And that's where I think if you can continue to play Bridgewater in the preseason and he continues to look like this, his value is going to keep going up. Trading him right now would be dumb. Because is there a team out there that's desperate to make a move? As you mentioned, there isn't one yet. But at some point, a guy's going to go down. You know, last year we had Ryan Tannehill get hurt.
And that's true.
Jay Cutler got brought out of free agency to go play. You know, Tony Romo's name was even mentioned during the preseason. Now, is he going to find a job? Should somebody going to sign him? At some point, there's going to be a guy that goes down either in the preseason or first handful of weeks of the year, and maybe they don't feel confident about their backup quarterback situation, and you need that insurance policy. And maybe at that point, you can get something out of him. He's not on an expensive deal, so it should be easy to move. And if you can get something of value in return, I think that's a win-win. And you want to continue to play him a lot, because if his stock goes up, at some point, a team's going to need a quarterback like that.
Yeah, you want to create the asset and commodity as much as you possibly can, and you do that by playing him. You do that by making him look good in preseason. but you still want to keep intact your quarterback room, right? So having McCown is he's the veteran presence in there. He's going to be worth it because of the guidance he can provide to a guy like Darnold and even a guy like Bridgewater, who's still relatively young.
He is, yeah.
He was only a starter for, what was that, 2 seasons, and then he got hurt.
Yeah, not much.
So you always want to keep that going. And then if you get to a point where you mention injuries start popping up, then okay, utilize the asset you have if you want. But I don't think the Jets need to be in any rush today of saying, oh, we've got to trade Teddy Bridgewater. You keep that quarterback room the way it is because Bridgewater could start for you, McCown could start with you or for you, or you could go with Darnold, and you know you have two veteran guys kind of behind to help guide him. Both guys, one, want to keep their jobs, and two, the other one guy wants to go try to be a franchise quarterback. So
yeah.
I think it actually is working out well. I don't know if they're going to be very good. I wouldn't go that far, but watching him play, it's pretty clear to see why so many people think or still feel that he should have been the number one overall pick over Baker. I still like almost all these quarterbacks that were in this draft, and I think they all have the ability to work in their respective areas or teams, but I don't think they should be rushing to change anything about that quarterback room. We didn't get to the Monday Night Crew, which I thought was interesting. Somebody made a huge comeback last night. I don't know if you noticed this, but we're going to talk about it.
There was also a really controversial hit in last night's game, too.
There was.
The roughing the passer call.
And then also, we never got to Alex Smith. I'm curious how Washington's going to be with Alex Smith, because we know he's good enough to win a division and lead you to 12 wins. We don't know if that's going to be in Washington. So we'll get to that, but we're going to talk with Jeff Sanders, who helped run this whole tournament out here at the Winco Foods Portland Open. He's going to join our show in just a couple minutes next, but first, Swag with a sports update. Hey, welcome back out at the Winco Foods Portland Open. Dirt and Sprague with you. Happy Friday to everybody out there. Hope you're enjoying the day. Our next guest is, every time I see this guy, my goal is to be this individual.
That's a life goal, is to turn into Jeff Sanders one day.
Dirt and Sprague, ladies and gentlemen.
I don't think I've ever seen you have a bad day.
No, don't. There's no way. It's my choice. Unless I make bogey, then I really get hot.
Yeah.
Can't stand bogeys.
We were talking about this to open up the show. Do you have that same intense reaction with other sports? Like if you're playing pickup hoops or softball and you strike, you know.
It's not the same.
Is it the same as golf, or is golf separated?
No, I think it's the same. When you're really competitive, you're competitive in what you do, whether it's business or sports or golf or anything. I think the better you get, the more you expect.
Right.
The more irritated you get with a bad shot in golf, let's say. But no, I think when you're overly competitive like I am, and you don't really micromanage people, you just intensely train them. You end up with problems.
Yeah,
but it's all good. It's beautiful out here, isn't it?
Oh, we love coming out here. In the last couple of years, it's been like 99, 100 degrees. We were just saying this year is picture perfect.
I can't believe how good this weather is. You know, that smoke and whatever that was a couple of days ago, thank God left. This weather today is as good as it gets. I mean, it's just perfect out here at Pumpkin, and of course Pumpkin is world class. I mean, most everybody knows this.
Yeah,
we travel the country and run golf tournaments, and there's no venue like it. I mean, there's from the parking to the two courses to the, you know, all the things we can do here. You know, for the fans, you know, the fan experience, the new grapes and brews and golf, you know, over there on 12, and I mean just fun. I mean, it's a great place. It's got such history, you know. And we did the U.S. Amateur here in 96 when Tiger three-peated, and the Women's Open the next year when Annika was trying to three-peat. And that's as close as I've ever seen it to what this is, you know. And why is that? Well, because it's so competitive, and there's so much on the line. And these guys out here, we were talking about earlier before we went on the air, that, you know, these guys are playing for their dream, their life, their career. I mean, this is big, okay? And last couple of years ago, Harold Varner, you know, came down to the last day, and he ended up getting his card number 25 by $200 for the year in prize money. And if he'd have, you know, $201, he'd have been down the road.
Right.
And, you know, that's where the term trunk slammer came from. You know, the guy opened up his trunk, threw his bag in, slammed it, and drove to Florida. Here, stopped for gas, and, you know, about blew his brains out on the way. I mean, but it's so competitive. I mean, this guy shoots 61 out here, this Derek Ernst. Now, you remember
I saw that. Yeah.
He won the Wells Fargo PGA Tour event 3 years ago. So he's a PGA Tour player. He's here trying to get his status back. But, I mean, he didn't even birdie 18. I mean, the par 5 18, which most guys were birdieing.
Right.
So I can't believe that. What a round of golf. Hey, Scotty. Scotty Harrington, at least.
There we go.
Well,
yeah.
And that's where I wanted it, because we talk a lot about it, and Swag, of course, brings it up on the golf show. But for the people who don't know and they haven't been out here and they don't realize what's on the line, just explain where this falls in the schedule, how the point system works, and what guys are playing for.
Okay, so there's 156 guys out here. They're the top 156 money winners on the web.com PGA Tour. And this is tournament number like 23. And at the end of this tournament, the top 25 money winners, I mean, right off the money list, 1 through 25, they get their PGA Tour card, so they're guaranteed to play next year on the PGA Tour. If they don't finish in the top, 25, of course, there's four more tournaments. There's four $1 million. We're playing for $800,000 here and $144,000 for first. There's four more tournaments 24, 5, 6, and 7. They're called the finals events, and those events are $1 million purse.
Wow.
And so what happens is, The number 126 to 200 on this year's PGA Tour, those 75 guys, will get together with the top 75, 1 through 75 on this tour for the year, to make a field of 150, and they'll play four tournaments, $1 million, $1 million, $1 million, $1 million. They'll all start from zero money, and the top 25 money winners at the end of those four tournaments will also get their card. So it'll be 50 total.
Wow.
And the way they do that is they scissor them in. So the number one money winner on the web.com and the number one money winner of the four finals events are one and then two. Then the number two money winner becomes three, and then the number four.
So forth down and
scissor
down,
down to 50. So you want to win the qualifier. You want to finish first, because you want to, in the higher you finish, of course, like if you win the web, if you're number one on the moneylistweb.com tour, then you're in all the tournaments.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is that you want to be able to plan your year and plan your schedule. And when I played the tour, I mean, I was a rabbit. It was Monday qualifying. There was no web.com.
right.
You either played in the tournament or you practiced for a week.
Yeah.
And then you go try again. And it was usually about 150 guys for 30 spots. And if you're one of the 30, you play. And if you're not, you missed the Monday. You're down the road. It was not perfect. Howard Johnson's and Red Roof Inn and Holiday Inn with my three hotels.
Yeah.
And I still
Red Roof Inn.
They were brand new back then.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice spot.
And by the way, when you really got hot and missed every putt, you could throw a ping answer putter right through the wall. I mean, it wouldn't even stick. You just go right on through it. But you that was a different day, right? So now you can actually play all year. And the cream does rise to the top. I mean, you can have a bad week or two or three.
Sure.
But if you play enough good weeks, you're going to get your card.
Yeah.
And like we were talking also, there have been 36 wins on the PGA Tour by graduates of the Winco Foods Portland Open. Justin Thomas being the number one player. He's won 10 times since he got his card here in 14. So he's won 10 times on the PGA Tour. So when you see our ads, it says PGA Tour Golf in Portland. Well, it is PGA Tour golf. Derek Ernst won the Wells Fargo. He shoots 61. Justin Thomas gets his card here. He's won 10 times. So, and people say, well, how's that work? I said, well, look, take anything. You take all the major leagues like football, basketball, baseball, soccer, hockey. Add up all the athletes in each sport, okay? And then compare them to the number of athletes on the PGA Tour and the web.com combined. There's 350 guys total between the two tours, PGA Tour, web.com. If you do the math for the NBA and the NHL and MLB and NFL, there's more than 350 athletes.
Yeah,
okay?
Yeah.
So that's why this is really, these guys are just, that's why they put the numbers on the scorecard that you see. No surprise to me whatsoever. There's only 350 of these guys in the world doing this. So they are PGA, this is PGA Tour golf, and you get a chance when you watch this tournament to see the next, Siwoo Kim, Bubba Watson,
Tony Finau,
Daniel Berger, Justin Thomas. I mean, those guys played here, and they're now superstars on the PGA Tour.
Yeah.
And all they needed was a tee time. They just needed a tee time, and they couldn't get one. But now they've got one, and, of course, the rest is history. So it's just fun to, I've been a member here since 92, and I love this place. And it's fun to watch it light up for this competitive golf tournament. But also, it's fun to see people coming out here, for Junior Day and for Family Day and for the breakfast on Sunday that we feed everybody before the final round. And then the awards ceremony on Sunday night, we give out the 25 cards and all the families come.
Right.
And they're there with their son who's now got a tour card, let's say, and been trying since junior golf, high school golf, college golf.
The whole way.
The whole time. And now they get their tour card, and this is like, it all happens right out here on this 18th green, and it's just unbelievable.
Yeah.
Super emotional, super competitive.
Yeah. Oh, I was going to say, Jeff Sanders is our guest. Those guys, I imagine not all of them, but
some of them have to be breaking down a little bit, right? Like tears coming down. I mean, you have
totally. A lifelong dream that's
yeah,
realized.
You've clinched your dream. Yeah.
No, it's you know, I played on the tour 5 years, you know, a long time ago, and I lost my card every year. And I got through this thing called the tour school, which is like the grinder of all grinders, five times. And so I can remember each one of them, where I was, what it felt like. I mean, that's back when they had the pay phones, you know, that you put the quarter in or the card. What was that card called you could use?
I know what you're talking about.
This pay phone was like, you know, 4 feet high and 8 feet wide, you know. And, you know, you call home and you tell your parents, hey, I got my card, you know. But eventually, when my license plate said no wins, I knew I was out of here. Yeah, bye-bye.
I'm all done.
But it was fun. It was great. And, you know, I'm playing golf around Portland. I mean, it's just we have so much great golf here. So
yeah,
great courses, great players, great young players right now. Look at the University of Oregon Duck golf team. I mean, I know I'm a Duck and I'm biased, but
a lot of those guys come through here as well.
Yeah.
Aaron Wise.
Yeah. Aaron Wise. What a great story.
Yeah.
I mean, I forgot to talk about Aaron.
Got his first tour win this year.
Well, yeah, he got his card, a year ago here?
Yeah.
He wins Colonial.
I think we talked to him last year when we were out
here.
I think we had him on the show.
He's a he hits it a mile.
Yeah, he
does.
And
he hits it straight up.
Is it amazing you watch? I mean, just from the golf that you played and now watching these young guys, and you seeing a guy like Brooks Koepka win the PGA Championship, did you ever think that the game would evolve to this point?
I couldn't believe what I saw Brooks do. I mean, when Tiger was putting it on him on that back nine Sunday and the roars were going on, the people, and I've talked to some people who were there, that told me that they just haven't seen crowds like that. And Tiger was doing his Tiger thing, as you saw.
Not hitting any fairways, but shooting a 64.
And he kept rolling those in, didn't he?
Yeah.
But Brooks kept making birdies. And back when they were afraid of him, they're not afraid of him anymore, but they were at one time, they started making bogeys when he started doing that.
Yep.
And he would have won. But now they just keep going. And they keep the pedal to the metal, and they know they got to go lower and lower because someone will.
Yeah.
And it's just fun. It's fun to see Tiger back playing. You know, the fact that the ratings are off the charts again when he plays is great. Great for the game. And the great thing is he's healthy. I can't believe he's actually able to play and practice the way that he does after, four back surgeries?
Yeah.
I mean, crazy.
We just heard a story. He was at Augusta 2 years ago.
At
the Champions Dinner. I guess he was walking around telling everybody, I'm done. I can't walk very good. I can't swing.
Yeah. Last Ryder Cup, he couldn't get out of the golf cart. He couldn't even get out of the golf cart.
And now look what he's doing. It's amazing. I think that's the story, too. Not only is it Tiger, it's the physical comeback that he has made in his life.
Yeah, I mean, as Lanny Watkins and I were talking about him one time, and, you know, Lanny was just saying, you know, you just never, you know, you can't count him out. I mean, Lanny was a fierce competitor on the PGA Tour. And you know, he said, Jeff, he said, this guy, Woods, he said, he makes me like a church mouse. He says, you know how much I hated to lose. I said, oh, I do. I remember it. He goes, but Tiger Woods is just a one of one. And you just never want to count him out. Anybody who thinks he won't be back needs to really be careful because he's going to work and work and work and work out to where, you know, don't be surprised if he doesn't come back. I've just been amazed at how well he's played the last couple months.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. Just real quickly before we get out of here, information for people that may be listening to this for the first time about the Winco Foods Portland Open, where they get tickets, you know, all that stuff.
Really simple. You know, wincogolf.com, you know, $15 a day to come out. But remember, with that $15 ticket, we're going to give you 10 free tastings over in the golf and grapes and brews area.
Yeah, we checked that out today. That's the place to be right there.
Yeah, so if you do the math a little bit there, that works pretty good.
It does.
And then that $15 is going to go to whatever charity you want it to go to in Portland.
That's cool.
So now you've got kind of a double win. But you want to take exit 55 off I-26 West, which is, I think it's Durham.
Yeah.
That's the easiest one of all. Exit 55. And just come out here. Parking's free. And then, you know, the golf's going on this afternoon until 6:30 or 7. The Grove is on fire until 6:30 or 7. I'll be over there, you know, buying shots and having fun, trying to stay out of trouble. But we're gonna have some fun over there. So social's great, you know, golf's great. And then tomorrow, Saturday, is family day from 12 o'clock on. We buy lunch for the first 250 kids. And then Sunday, we buy everybody that comes out here in the morning breakfast here. And then we watch the guys play their brains out to try to get a tour card. And it's just I can tell you right now, it's the most emotional day. The spotlight will be on Pumpkin around the world.
Yeah.
I mean, these guys, this is where it's at.
Is Taylor Mounts driving you crazy yet?
Taylor Mounts, I think he's got a future. You know, he can't sell anything. But he can certainly he's got a chance.
Okay, he might make it.
Yeah, he might make it if he just keeps grinding. Rondi Schreier will try to lift him up on a daily basis. But
our company was pretty mixed when he left. Half the room was crying, and then the half room was celebrating. It was
I heard there was a party.
Yeah, a lot of emotion. Yeah,
yeah. A lot of emotion.
Then they knew he's going over to Lagadier Sports, and the rumor was, well, never lasts there. Right? Yeah. No chance. So all these guys do is work. No, he's great. We love Taylor Mounts. He's of course he went to Willamette University.
Right, he's a local kid.
Local kid.
He likes to tell us he played basketball. He likes to tell us that.
I actually ran to his coach the other day. His coach said he weighed about 50 pounds less than he does today when he could not miss. His nickname was Cotton. The ball never touched
Cotton.
The rim. Never touched the rim, baby. Cotton only.
That's cool, man. Thank you so much for
thank
your time.
You guys.
You guys are doing
Appreciate
a great job out here.
It's a lot of fun.
Thanks for being here.
Jeff
you guys
Sanders.
Are great partners.
There
thank
we
you
go.
Very
Jeff
much.
Sanders out here at the Winco Foods Portland Open. We're having a good time. We'll talk about some Monday Night Football stuff next on The Fan. Hey, welcome back in. Dirt and Sprague, 1252. Hope you're enjoying your day. We just got yelled at by a golfer's mother. So that's the first for me. We had a older woman walk by.
Hey, would you guys keep it down over there?
Well, I don't think she realizes who Jeff Sanders is. And we're talking to Jeff. We're cracking some jokes. We're having a good time. And this woman comes over, and she's like, "Oh, you guys need to keep it down a little bit." And I thought she was just like kind of joking because we were laughing and telling jokes. And so Jeff Sanders and the group with him, they end up leaving, and she stays around near me and Dirt.
I don't know. Yeah.
And she goes, "It's a tournament. You're being way too loud for the golfers.
Yeah,
you
we got to go
quiet for the tournament.
We got to go golf talk the rest of the show. Just keep it nice and low. Whisper in like Jim Nance."
Yeah, and she goes, "What are you doing?" And I'm like, "Well, we're doing a radio show, so they bring me out here. I'm not going to change the way I talk."
Yeah, this is the way it works.
And she goes, "Are you calling the tournament?" And I said, "No, we're doing a radio program on," and right as I said "on," she just walked away.
Yeah,
so she was none too pleased that we were laughing and enjoying our lives.
Hey, we're trying to lighten the mood. These guys got a lot of stress, a lot of pressure going into this weekend. Listening to a couple of idiots, maybe it lightens the mood a little bit for them before they get the round underway.
Well, also, it's the practice putting green, so I figure, if we're distracting you on your practice putt, you know what? We're helping you build pressure.
That's right. That's right. You got to get used to it.
You got to deal with the noise. If there's a bird out there that doesn't shut up in the middle of your birdie putt, are you gonna wait for it to be quiet?
I will say this: as a golfer, I am that way. I think that's my biggest weakness as a golfer is the smallest little thing can throw me off.
I think you should be careful saying "as a golfer" in front of actual tour golfers.
Not
here.
As a professional golfer.
Because Wade Benfield, who is practicing here, looked at you with a look of like, golfer. I'm a golfer.
Your fat ass doesn't golf, right? What are you, at 11 handicap? Get the hell out of
here. I'm actually practicing to golf. You're sitting here talking about golf.
Yeah, I was playing with some buddies a couple weekends ago, and we had a group that was like three or four holes either ahead of us or behind us, and you could tell they were hammered and having a good time. And it was like every time we went through, we would run into them on a green in a tee box, they would be loud, and it would happen right in a backswing.
Right.
Right as you're getting ready to hit the ball, and every single time it threw me off, man. That's I get distracted easily when I'm on the golf course.
Yeah, I'd never experienced that before, so that was a first for us. We have a loaded second hour. We have a lot of things to get to. Just because we have some things I want to talk about in hour number two, I do want to bring up very quickly, can we address the comeback that Jason Witten's hair made last night?
Yeah.
If you watch Jason Witten play with the Dallas Cowboys the last three seasons, that dude was going bald pretty bad.
Is this LeBron James territory?
Yes.
You put it in that same category?
Yes.
Now, Brian Urlacher. See, and I'll give it to Urlacher at least. He's acknowledged it. Because I don't think LeBron has ever publicly talked about his hair plugs. And Jason Witten, I'm assuming, has not yet. Urlacher, I believe, has said, I was going bald and I wanted hair.
Yeah, so Urlacher's talked about the procedure he did and how it actually recovered quite well. I think Witten has an interview out there, if I'm not mistaken, where he addresses that he is trying to make the comeback for the hair. And it's coincidentally, I listened to a podcast this morning. There is a pill, and I can't remember the word. It's not Propecia. It's another word that a lot of people in Hollywood take.
It's a hair pill?
Like Tom Cruise should be bald, but he takes a hair pill and it thickens the hair.
It's a hair pill.
It basically makes it so you don't go bald.
Where was this when George Costanza needed it?
Well, he was a little before his
He was trying some creams from China that were making his head burn, stinking up the joint, man.
Yeah, I saw that hair last night when they did the intro, and I said, Jason Witten, hell of a comeback by you, sir.
Yeah, and that's the weird thing, too, with hair. Do you not think people are going to notice that?
I think you do, but you're proud of it.
You know who has probably the worst hair moment that I can ever remember?
Right.
And this, maybe somebody will correct me on this, and he at least came out and admitted it recently, is Colin Cowherd. When Cowherd first started at Fox, that is one of the worst hair moments in the history of hair.
It absolutely is.
He went from being a gray fox, you know, a little sprinkle salt and pepper, to like bright red brown.
He tried to go yellow, and it did not look good.
Like, dude, you were not 27 years old.
Like bro,
what are you clinging to?
You
know,
just because you moved to LA doesn't mean you got to try to look like you're 30.
And I think he finally came out recently and acknowledged it. Like, yeah, that was one of the worst moments of my career.
Well, what happened? Here's the steps Colin took. Here's my new hair. I'm defensive about my hair.
Yeah, you can't defend it.
I'm going to criticize the people who got upset about my hair. You know what? The hair was a bad idea.
Yeah.
Those are the four steps he took.
You got to go through the hair cycle there to get to the last point.
Did you like that crew?
I got to
admit something. I've never liked Tessitore. I actually think he's going to be good for Monday night.
I'm gonna reserve judgment. Okay, it's one preseason game. I'm not gonna have a strong take yet.
Right.
I didn't not like them. It's just different.
Booger was really more vocal than I thought he would be.
Yeah, Booger was all over the place.
I thought he talked more than Jason Witten.
Keep it down, Booger.
Well, I don't know if I like – I might have liked Booger more than I like Witten. I don't know.
Yeah, time will tell, but a decent start for him.
Yeah. All right, we have a loaded second hour, and let's start with some Seahawk news. Let's get to the Seattle Seahawks. Russell Wilson says this is going to be much better than it has been in the past. Are we buying it, though? We'll tell you what it is next. Dirt and Sprague with you on The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.